guys, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, September the 6th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's hope today. Because that is what we get to hear, my friends, as we break open the readings for this coming Sunday, the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are going to hear from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, as he speaks to people in an incredibly hopeless situation. And we're going to hear a similar story played out in the life and actions of Jesus as he speaks to a people who are separate. I mean, this is so good. And so, honestly, my friends, I am so grateful that you are with me as we break open God's Word. I am grateful for you continuing to share this podcast with others or recommend it. I'm amazed at the places and locations and the peoples that are listening. And so thank you. Thank you for your trust. Thanks for being here. Who am I? For those listening for the first time, I am a lay Catholic minister. And those are my dogs in the background saying hello. And I just break open God's readings every weekend and just ponder them and invite others to do the same before, during, after we hear them for the Mass. It's all good. And so I thank you for being with me today to do that. So for those who would like to follow along, I know these dogs are just crazy. For those who like to follow along and read along with, the readings we'll read out of is Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 7. And then we are going to read out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. All right? So, again, what I invite you to do is, as we prepare to hear the Word of God, just to open yourself, to set aside any anxieties that you may be carrying, any preoccupations, anything that you have to do today. Set aside any of those things right now. Just open yourself that the Word of God may find a home within you and therefore may grow and invite you to where the Word wants to take you, okay? So let's break open God's Word together. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, as always, my friends, if there is a word, if there was a thought, if there was an image, a phrase, an idea, if there was something that spoke to you, allow that simply to stay with you. Let the Spirit of God continue to speak. And just ponder that, chew on that, be with that, be present to that in this moment and the rest of the day and the weekend, whatever that looks like. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And the people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friends, where do we start with readings like this? I mean, they are so good, aren't they? Again, you can see why I said earlier they're so filled with hope. All right. Let's start with Isaiah, because I think Isaiah points to the gospel. So, again, I think it's important that we understand the context of Isaiah and who he's speaking to and what's going on. So the Jewish people have been taken captive into Babylon, and they are basically without hope. They are a captive people. They are away from the land, which was their inheritance. They are away from the temple, which was the residence of God. And so therefore, in a sense, they have lost their identity as the people of God and felt perhaps, I think it's not too strong to say this, that God was no longer on their side. They were a people alone. And again, captive, not even able to do or act or be who they wanted to be. And so they were without hope in a foreign land. And here comes Isaiah, this prophet, speaking to them and says, "Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you." Imagine you were in that situation and you heard those words. Honestly, my friends, either you'd be like, this person's clueless, doesn't know what they're talking about, what they're offering me and trying to sell is too good to be true, or our worlds would change if we had the courage to believe them. Brothers and sisters, yeah, you individually and we as a people, perhaps, because I don't know who's listening to this and where you are, but we as a people perhaps are not held captive. But we live in a world that teeters without hope every day. Every day. You know this, and I know this. Individually, we may be living with frightened hearts today because of something that is going on in life, some circumstance, some concern, some relationship that is in tatters, some, our financial situation may be just strikingly poor. Whatever it is, we live with hearts that are frightened. Or grief-stricken, or without vision or hope. Brothers and sisters, hear these words to you individually. Fear not. Fear not. Here is our God. He comes with your vindication. And I had to look up the word vindication. I mean, I know what it is, but I wanted to get the exact definition. And here's what it says from the Oxford Dictionary. The action of clearing someone of blame or suspicion. Here is your God. He comes to clear you of blame or suspicion. Whatever is going on within you, whatever is happening around you, here is your God. He comes with vindication and divine recompense, repayment, divine intervention. He comes to save you. I'm going to stop right there because And it's worth going on, and we'll do that shortly. But what does it mean, brothers and sisters, for you today, for God to come and save you? What would that look like? What are you in need of? What is God? What are you asking of God in this situation in which you find yourself? Because here's the good news. Here is our God. He says to you whose hearts are frightened and overwhelmed and anything but grounded, hurting, alone, here I come. I come without blame. I come without accusation. I come without finger pointing. I come with vindication to save you, to take all of that stuff away. I come to let you know right where you are in this place where hearts are frightened and we're feeling alone and we're feeling isolated and overwhelmed and cannot move another step. He says, hey, that's exactly where I want to be. Because do you know where the Jewish people felt or how they felt at that time? I suspect it was very similar. And he says, into this place of hopelessness where we think, There can be nothing that grows from this because this is the end. Our God says, oh, no, this isn't the end. No. Do you see that desert over there? That desert that is with burning sand, that is without life. I'm going to make rivers flow through it, and I'm going to make life come through it. He says, streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools in the thirsty ground, springs of water. That which we thought was without hope will be overcome with its opposite. If what our God is inviting us to is to think that more can become of the situation in which we find ourselves. And he speaks to us, as I mentioned earlier, individually, and he speaks to us as a community and as a world. We find ourselves in a world that may be without hope, a world at war with each other, a world that young 14-year-olds go into high schools and feel a need to have a gun and shoot others. A world in which a country is divided over if they're red or blue. A world in which a climate is increasing in temperature. And the effects of that, a world in which there are incredibly poor individuals and the divide between the wealthy and those without wealth, the poor, is becoming more and more increasing every day. Brothers and sisters, into this world that we look at that we say is irretrievably broken, our God says, but brothers and sisters, I can bring hope to that. I will bring hope to that, that nothing is beyond the power and the presence of God. But first, we have to be able to imagine it. And that's what Isaiah is offering to these people in captivity. He's offering another vision. Brothers and sisters, do you and I carry that vision within us? Because once we do, then, and you may have noticed, I skipped over a little bit in this reading. I've talked about how our God comes to save us, and I've talked about the vision, but in the middle, it says, then, only after we have this vision, over after we trust that God not only can, but has saved us, has done so, then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be clean, the lame leap like a stag, the tongue of the mute sing. That is a reaction to this already saving action of God. Is then we have something to say. Then we have something to hear. Then we have something to leap for. Then we have something to sing about. Is our God not only has given us a new vision, but will complete it. Why? Because God has said so. And that ultimately is the end point of God, not destruction, but life, because life is the end point. Life is the presence, the voice it's God's very essence. Life, not death, life. It's the meaning of Easter. It's the meaning of resurrection. Brothers and sisters, and you and I need first and foremost to have that vision. And trust that we have been saved and are being saved. And the intent of God, the vision of God, the dream of God is salvation. It is not death and destruction. I want to read to you a reading from Gandhi, who was fascinated, by the way, but with Christianity. And he wrote this beautiful meditation, and it's only about three sentences. And so here's what it says. I came across it yesterday. I thought it's too good not to include. If you want to smell the aroma of Christianity, you must first copy the rose. The rose irresistibly draws people to itself, and the scent remains with them. Even so, the aroma of Christianity is subtler even than that of the rose and should, therefore, be imparted in an even quieter and more imperceptible manner, if possible. In a sense, what he's saying, I think, is the rose carries its own power. It carries its power in its beauty and in its scent. It does not need to say anything more than that. And he says Christianity, likewise, is even stronger and more beautiful, and it carries that. And it should be even more imperceptible because it's stronger. I'm saying it poorly here, but he says, even so, the aroma of Christianity is subtler even than that of the rose and should therefore be imparted in an even quieter and more imperceptible manner. Brothers and sisters, what is the aroma you and I carry? What is it? Is it an aroma of hope? Do we have the vision of Isaiah? That our God comes with vindication and has and will continue to save us. Do we believe that? And if so, that there is an aroma that people will get from that. We don't have to stand on a street corner or shout it from the rooftops. It's an aroma that is with us, that we carry. All right, I've spent all this time on the first reading. I haven't even gotten to the gospel. And really, all I'll say about the gospel is this. You know, because doesn't Isaiah point to the gospel and the gospel points to Isaiah? Jesus effectively goes off to the land of Tyre and Sidon, the Decapolis. By its very name, Decapolis, right? You know it is of Roman origin, and therefore it is Gentile. It's not the Jewish area. He's going to outsiders because the hope that our God has is not just for those of belief. To cite Bono and U2 in their song, City of Blinding Lights, blessings for those, not just for the ones who kneel. Blessings not just for the ones who kneel, luckily. You know, our God comes to save all of us, to save creation. God is not worried about boundaries and borders. And so into this place, Jesus comes. And the people clearly have heard about him already because they bring this mute person and deaf person to him. Jesus takes him off. He doesn't say, you're not a Jew. He takes him off on his own because sometimes I think we need to go apart from the crowd in order to hear and be present to the Christ. In fact, I would think, I won't say often, but certainly in balance, we need to be in times of solitude and quiet as much as we're in times of places of busyness and bustling with people. And Jesus says to him, Ephphatha, be opened. Doesn't he say that to you? Doesn't he say that to me today? What does that look like? What do we need in our life to be opened? Well, our God looks at us and says, be opened. Be open to the possibility that we're not at the end. Be open to hope that it's not all about death. Life is stronger. Love is stronger. God is stronger. Be open to that. And that is worth not being quiet about, right? Because I think only when, as I mentioned earlier, we have that vision, only when we know clearly that God can and will not only save us individually, but creation, that not only will God walk with us now, God will reach into those areas when we find ourselves astray and lead us back. That is worth sharing from the rooftops and not being quiet about, as in the gospel, and leaping like a stag. Brothers and sisters, our God comes to us with vindication. He comes to save us. Will we allow our God into that place of hopelessness and allow our attitudes, our ideas, to be new? Let's take all that to prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you, and thank you again for being with me as we broke open this word this weekend. May your weeks be filled with every good joy and blessing. Be well.